Jesus. Amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the word of the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Amen, amen. Praise God. Actually, we have a very lengthy passage of scripture. I'll let you sit down today and relax your muscles if you'll promise me that you'll be in tune to this, because I really believe it's really what we need. It is going to, we taught already a few Wednesdays ago upon because we are His, and so this is actually going part three to this, I think, or part two, or wherever we're at on that. It's been a while since we've just had a normal Wednesday night. It seems like we've just been going and going. But because we are His, it's the hair question that we're going to talk about tonight. And we'll let the Lord talk to us. And we're going to let Him talk to us about His Word. Amen. Everything's got to be based by the Word. If you don't live it by the Word, then you live it in vain. Thank God that you take mom and dad's or the preacher's or an elder's word, but don't just take it their word and make your doctrine out of it. Get the doctrine from the Word of God. It's where the Bible says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that should not be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. So we've got to get our nose in this. You got to study. You got to meditate upon it. And I'm telling you, a lot of the books that we read, a lot of the leadership books that we read, every principle of leadership or how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife, or just how to be a better person is all right here. If you want to learn how to make money, you don't even have to spend thousands of dollars. Read the Word of God. Bible says, what a man sows, that shall he also reap. If you want to get wealthy and you want to have your barns full, learn the Word of God. God's Word will tell you how to do it. And can I tell you the easiest way? Probably should get your pen and paper out on this. We're talking about because we're His, but we'll go off on this for just a few seconds. The easiest way for you to become wealthy in life is this: seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you're after God, God's after you. But if you run away from God, God runs away from you. And you start getting tight with God, guess what? He gets tight with you. That's why He said, if you give abundantly, I will bless you abundantly. It's the rules of the Lord. It's the law of the harvest. Amen. Let's get on track. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Won't be chasing any rabbits at rabbit holes. We'll try to stay on point, Brother Reuben. Amen. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things. Somebody said all things. And keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God. But the woman is the glory of man. All men say, thank you, Jesus. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause ought the woman to have power on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman. But all things of God. Judge in yourself. Is it comely that a woman pray unto God uncovered? Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. This is the word of the Lord. This is not some little church on the corner of Mooney and Bardsley at Abundant Life Center, but this is the word of God. A lot of us live and a lot of us grow up, and even in school, we study history. Well, how do we study history? We study them through the history books. That's pretty profound, right? How do we know there was an Abraham Lincoln? Because he was written in the history books. How do we know of George Washington? He was written in the history books. Everything we know, World War I, World War II, all these things are in history books. And so the way we learn is we learn not necessarily just in history books, but because before history books were around, the Word was around. The Word is the thing that we've got to govern our lives after. Bible says we are to hide the Word in our hearts that we may not sin against thee, not against you. There are times that I found people engaged in a conversation that they shouldn't be engaged in, and I come up and their first thing is, ooh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry, preacher. And I'm like, don't say sorry to me. Say sorry to the one who you just defiled his name and blasphemed his name. You've got to understand that we live by the precepts of the Word of God. And we've got to be governed by the precepts of the Word of God. Your doctrine should be based on the Word of God. That's how we've got to live. Not because grandma or grandpa, and they may have been great people, not because of their traditions. But we've got to be rooted and grounded in this. You say, well, Pastor, I don't know all there is in the Word of God. I only know John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us. I only know that scripture where it says Jesus wept. Well, guess what? You could study. You could open up the book tonight when you go home and you could pray, God, help me to learn this. Help me to grasp this. Because if you'll open this with an open mind, God will speak to you. I want to review before we dig into this. And I don't know how long it'll be tonight. I won't be too long. I try not to be too long. But I want to review some basic holiness principles, okay? The word holiness carries the meaning. We've talked about it. Of separate or apart. So being holy does not only mean withdrawing from something, but being holy means withdrawing unto something. Do you remember back in, I believe it was 2013, Dr. Jeffers was here, and Dr. Jeffers gave us a theme what he felt that 2013 represented. Anybody remember what that was? I'll tell you what it was. It was the year of rebellion. That's what he said. He said 2013 is going to be the year of rebellion. And there were a lot of people, Brother Reuben, that looked at that word and they saw the negative side of rebellion, because we always, we don't want to rebellious. But I saw the positive side of rebellious, because I want to rebel against the things of God. I want to rebel against carnality. I want to rebel against the things of the flesh. And hopefully you ought to desire to rebel against the desires and the attitudes of the carnal man. And hopefully your desires is to cling to the things of the Spirit and cling to the Word of God. We need to withdraw unto the things of the Spirit, not against. So being holy does not mean withdrawing from, but rather withdrawing unto something. We want to withdraw unto the Word of God. So being holy means that we are to be separate, and we are to withdraw unto man's original state of communion with God as we live holy lives, because the Lord made this statement. He said, "Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy." That is why in almost every place in Scripture, Paul refers to holiness. He does not refer only to culture, but he takes us all the way back to creation, which is the original state. Or as Bishop would say, it's the original pattern. And if you want to get to the original right, you always need the original pattern. And so Paul therefore calls for compliance in matters of practical holiness on the basis of creation, because we were created to fellowship with God in the beauty of holiness. Somebody shout holiness. Do you realize that we were created in His image? We were created in His likeness. We were created holy as the Lord God is holy. Do you understand that God created you? He made the statement, Brother Scott. He said, "Let us make man in our image." Well, what is His image? His image is holy. And so He wants to make you in His image. But guess what? He also put inside of every one of us the choice, the decision. You say, "Well, why did God give me the choice? If He wanted me to be holy, why didn't He just say, poof, you're holy? Poof, you're set apart. Pew, poof, you're a peculiar person." Why didn't God do that? Because He loved you. He loved you enough to give you a choice, to give you a decision to say, "I want to strive to be holy. I want to strive to be holy in my conduct, in my spirit, in the way I communicate with one another, in my dress, in my actions, on what I say and what I don't say." Some of you are real big on that. "Well, I didn't tell them that." Well, no, but your body language did. "Well, I didn't tell them that I didn't like them." No, but you just looked at them like that. The Lord wants us to be set apart, not to be set apart like the world, but set apart like Him. We are to reflect the image of God. That could be a great thought for you on your day-to-day life. Am I being like God? Or am I being like a carnal individual? Is my thought process pleasing God? Is my decisions pleasing God? I guarantee you, if you had God literally in your car, which we do every day, we have him right now. He's all around, everywhere we go. The problem is, though, we can't see him because God is a spirit, right? But he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But we don't treat him like he's everywhere. But if God, Jesus Christ, as he did, robed himself in humanity, and if he was in your ride as you were driving down the road, I guarantee you, you wouldn't be listening to some of those things you listen to. If Jesus was in your home, in your living room, on your couch right next to you, you wouldn't be watching some things you watch. You wouldn't be having conversations that you have with one another. Well, I just got to tell you about so-and-so because we just got to pray for them. No, you're gossiping. But if we would understand God is always around us, but he's given us the choice to realize he's with me right now. Therefore, I need to be holy as he is holy. Not because I'm fearful of him, but because I want to please him. If you had God walk into your work, walk into your office, things would be different, right? You would say, I shouldn't have done that. I shouldn't. Now listen, you've got to understand this because you can't let condemnation hurt you. Sometimes we mess up with condemnation. Well, you know, made that same mistake. God don't love, God loves you. He doesn't love what you're involved in, but he loves you. Can I just be honest with you? Well, hopefully I'm always honest with you. It's kind of crazy when a preacher says, can I be honest with you? Does that mean he wasn't honest before? I don't know why we say that, but there have been times as a parent, Tristan has made some horrible choices. There has been times that Brooklyn has flat out disobeyed me. Can I tell you, as mad and as upset and as hurt I have been by the choices they've made, never once did my love diminish them. You've got to understand, you may have said some things, done some things, been involved in some things that you wish to God you could take back and undo and have a rewind, but I'm going to tell you that God has never stopped loving you. God has never stopped believing in you. He's not a God of condemnation, but he is a God that wants to awaken you and sometimes give you conviction so that you could change some of the things that you're doing and you're involved in. Be ye holy, for I, the Lord, am holy. That's God's desire for you. It's God's desire for mankind. I want to please him, Brother Scott. Because you know what? God's been good to me. And I know that every one of us are busy. But I don't think we're too busy, Brother James, that we can't crack open this word 15, 20, 30 minutes a day. You say, well, Pastor, You don't know my schedule. You don't know how busy I am. Eat faster. You spend more time eating in a day than you do reading this. And I'm not talking about social media. I'm not talking about games or entertainment or whatever. I'm just talking about eating. You spend more time eating than eating this word. And I'm just telling you, if we really want God in our lives, then we can't just open this on Wednesdays and Sundays. But it's got to be a time where we absorb this word. You say, well, Pastor, I don't read very well. Well, on your phone, it'll read it for you. There's many times I'm cruising down the road and I've got the Bible on because I want to listen to it. Today, even this morning, I was having a conversation with God because I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I was reading Judges. And in the book of Judges, I believe it was the 30th chapter or whatever, the children of Israel was warring against the children of Benjamin because of the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites messed up. And Israel came to Benjamin and said, Benjamin, we want the knuckleheads that messed up. And Benjamin says, we ain't gonna do that. And they fought. And I'm like, God, they're brethren. Why are they fighting? Benjamin fights Israel the first day, and over 25,000 men died on the battle. Children of Israel then went to the Lord the next day and said, God, should we go and fight Benjamin again? He said, yes, and 18,000 men died the next day. I'm like, your brethren. And they find the third day, and Benjamin beats up, Israel fights Benjamin the third day, and 25,000 die in Benjamin's tribe. Almost 100,000 bodies die because they didn't want to come clean, because they wanted to be nice to the world, be nice to those that they're hanging with. Can I tell you, we've got to get some backbone, and we've got to learn to cut off the things that are of this world. We've got to learn to cut off some of the stuff that tries to attack our minds and our brains and our spirits. If it's not of God, if the people I'm talking with, and I'm meddling a little bit, and that's all right, but the people that you're talking with and hanging out with and having conversations with, and they're negative and they're naysayers and they don't believe the word of God, you've got to cut them off. There is no way you can entertain that spirit. Why? Because if you're not careful, they'll attach themselves to you. And you will say, they're okay. You know, they love God. They have a form of godliness. But I believe my Bible says, but they deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Only way that we can defeat this world is through the word. The only way you can help your family. Good to see you, baby. Good to have you home. Hey, man, been missing you at college. He's home for the summer. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you, the best thing we could ever do, though, is listen to the words of God. The best thing you could ever do for your future and your home is to cut out all the naysayers. And Brother Mendez say, I've got to learn the word. I believe somewhere in the book of Psalms, the Lord says, blessed is the man that meditates on this day and night, because he shall be like a tree is springing forth in his own season, bringing out fruit. I'm telling you, what we've got to do is we've got to fall in love with the word of God again. If we can fall in love with the word of God, God can help us. But woe be unto us if we follow our own ideas and ideals Holiness is not something that we're just, you know, back in the day, we had preachers in the old times. Some of you don't know how it was back in the day. A lot of us want to say, you know, I remember the Bruce Arbor days and how the power of God. Can I tell you, the Bruce Arbor days, they sat on bales of hay. They didn't have the air conditioning running. They didn't have lights. They had bugs everywhere, and it was humid, and it was hot, and they want to go back to that. And they had preachers that would get behind the pulpit, and they wouldn't necessarily, and I'm not saying they would water down the word, but they'd just be plain, and they'd say, Brother Rudy, if you don't turn, you're going to burn. They'd call people out by name over the pulpit, and they'd say, Matt, you ain't living right, and if you don't change your ways tonight, God, they would call people out. That's back in the day. Now we dare not say anybody to upset them. You know, they may leave. We gotta learn to follow after the word of God and say, God, I love my brother, I love my sister, but I do not want them to derail my relationship with God. I'm gonna love them, I'm gonna pray for them, but if they talk against the kingdom, I'm gonna cut them out. I just want to engraft your word into my soul and my spirit. As I want to be holy as the Lord God is holy. Amen. Three times in only 16 verses, Paul refers to the order of creation. Can I tell you, salvation is a process. Somebody shout that. Salvation is a process. You never get there and you just, you know, you sit back and say, I've arrived. I'm spiritual. I'm holy. Y'all worship now, Brother Scott. I've done it already. There are some people, bless their hearts. I remember I preached in a church in Colorado, and this lady said, you know, I love your preaching and I love all that, but when somebody has to say but after what they said, it just annihilates everything they said. Because Brother Rudy, she said something like, you know, I love this and I agree with all of that, but I'm happy with the 4 or 5 that we have. I don't want any more. What she was saying was, she was satisfied with singing the same songs, hearing the same message, and going through their little Pentecostal calisthenics and going through the rituals, and they just didn't want to change. Can I tell you, I want more of God. God, don't take me back to the place where I used to be. Let me go further in you. Show me things deeper in the spirit. Speak to me the words of truth. Let me begin to absorb your word into my heart. Because salvation is not just a one-time, it's a process. And we all grow at different stages of life. A lot of us like to, I got so much to go. But a lot of us, listen, a lot of us want to judge others on their spiritual growth. I got a boy and a girl that is completely different. And I don't mean this disrespectful at all. If he was here, I would say it still. But Tristan, he is 17 years old. My girl's 20. But my girl was more mature at 17 than Tristan is at 17. And I don't say that to diminish his character at all. I love my boy, okay? But it doesn't make me love him less and her more. They grow at different levels. Leave them alone and let them grow. How dare us try to change somebody before they're ready to grow? How dare us try to pick out flaws in their spiritual walk to masquerade your problems. Because the people that judge the most are the ones that need to be judged the most. The Lord says, judge not lest ye be judged. And we would do well if we turn off the spotlight in others and turn on the searchlight in us that says, Lord, search my heart, know my ways, know my thoughts, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Let me get me right first. If we learn anything about the Word of God, salvation is a process. Now, I know this is going to blow your mind. I know everybody going to leave this church and go, oh my goodness, did you hear about Pastor? Can I tell you, I still make mistakes. I'm not all, if I were to somehow sell me for what my mother thinks I'm worth, I'd be richer than Trump. Can I tell you? But there are things in my life that I stumble and I fall, Brother Scott. Now, I try not to repeat the same habits. I try to change. But woe unto me if I just try to clean up the outside and forget about the inside. And say, well, I pay this amount of tithes and I give this amount of offering and I pray this amount in prayer and I do out there for outreach. And if we have to lay out our degrees of what we've done for the kingdom, we're not exalting him, we're exalting us. And if we're exalting us, we're not building the kingdom of God, we're building the kingdom of man, and our salvation process has deteriorated. When I come to church, I got to say, God, help me. Help me to be better. Help me learn to glean some insights in this word. Help me learn to think right. Help me learn to act right. I had somebody a few months ago ask me this question. They were like, Pastor, why should we live for God? I mean, really, what is there? You know, I remember when I was growing up, Brother Rudy, back in the day, all the preachers preached about hell. You don't hear hell preached about much anymore. But the thing was, is when they preached about hell, they would turn up the heaters. They would. And you were literally sweat. It was a tactic they used. I may need to try that, Brother Reuben. But I remember one service, they had it up, and I was just sweating. I was like, oh, I feel myself. And all of a sudden, it was quiet, and somebody blew a trumpet and turned the lights out. I didn't stay at my pew. No, I did not. I ran to the front. They scared the bejesus out of me. And some people only live for God because they're scared of him. It's okay to have a fear of the Lord. But can I tell you, when you learn to love the Lord, when you learn to want to please him, we'll probably wrap it up here. Sister Haney's message was so on point. I'm telling you, we would do well to love the Lord with all our heart, with our mind, with our thought process. Can I tell you, you can't control what comes in, but you can control what stays. And when you start having thoughts you shouldn't have, you better turn that around quick and say, God, I just want to tell you I love you. I want to tell you, I'm thankful for you. You start turning around those bad thoughts into good thoughts. It starts changing. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, which is thy mind. And then she skipped the soul for the second part, and she went after with all my strength. And that kind of blew my mind because I thought the same thing she thought, strength.
right?
How many would say, I thought it was strength too? It's okay, because I did too. But it was talking about your possessions out of the abundance. See, we say we love our, we say we love God with our heart and our mind, but many of us, we don't love him with this. Ooh, got quiet there. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take an offering, but I'm talking about a salvation process. But I'm telling you, where your treasure is, there your heart, mind is also. If God doesn't have this, he doesn't have your heart. If God doesn't have this, he doesn't have your mind. You got your mind on your bank account. You got your mind on your 401k. You think that's your retirement plan. Can I tell you, I'm looking for the heaven 401k. I'm looking for heaven's plan. Because heaven's plan says, I've got a mansion with my name on it. The Lord, in 6 days, created all the beauty that we bestow. He's been gone a long time. How big's my mansion going to be? How big's your mansion going to be? I don't want to miss it if I can't love him with this. And can I just go a step further? So I'm talking about because we're his. If we're talking about because we're his, we got to be all in. Can I tell you, he doesn't really want this. He really doesn't. The rich man came to the Lord. And what did the rich man tell Jesus that he did? I've done all the commandments. And the Lord says, well, you're lacking one. And what was that commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. Isn't that right? One thing thou lackest. So when she started speaking about that, my mind went to the rich man. And the Bible said that the rich man went away sorrowful because he had great strength. He had great abundance, right? He went away sorrowful. My master is not MasterCard. My master is Jesus. I want to please him. So if I can love him with all my heart, my mind, my strength, which is my abundance, and then my soul. Salvation's a process. It's a work at it. The whole study's because we're his. The question is, are you really his? It's easy to say that. I mean, look at Peter. Peter said, I will not deny you, Lord. I'll lay my life down for you. Oh, yeah? You're fixing to get body slammed. You're fixing to get picked up and boom. And the very next scene, you're denying the Lord. Easy with the words, but a little different with actions. And the Lord's calling for every one of us, not just to be comfortable in sitting on a pew and being pew setters, but he wants us to be world changers. And it starts with us saying, Lord, I want to be holy, for you are holy. Holy in my mind. Holy in my spirit. Holy in my conduct. Holy in my... I want to, when I go out this doors of this church and I go to school or I go to job or wherever I go, I want people to know something's different about you. What's going on with you? There's a glow, a radiance about you. It's not me. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You can't give what you don't have. And I'm praying tonight, God, give me some more of you. I want to be holy like you. I don't want to just play church. I don't want to just go through the routines of this. God, I want you. I want an experience with you. Anybody feel that way tonight? Would you stretch your hand towards heaven with me right now? Would somebody just, from the depths of your heart, depths of your soul, the depths of your spirit, would somebody just cry out to the Lord, God, I want to be more like you. I want to spend more time with you. I want to devote more time with you. I want to put you first, God. I want to put you back where you belong, in the forefront of my life. Would you stand to your feet tonight? Would you lift your voice all across this building? Would you make a declaration? Lord, I want to be holy, for you are holy. I want you to make me and mold me and shape me into your image. I want to become what you foreseen way back then, when you said, let us make man in our image. I want to be that image that you saw. I want you to be pleased in me, God. I want to become one of yours. Oh, we got a few minutes. Would you step out from your pew? Would you line this front today with hands raised, with voices raised, saying, God, I give it to you, all that I have, all that I possess. I know it's not much, but God, what I have, I give it to you. I surrender it to you. I relinquish the reins to you. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy. I want to be holy, God. Holy unto you. Hallelujah. What feeling here in this house. Come on, there's a turnaround tonight. There's got to be a turnaround tonight. I want to be like you. I want to be one of yours, because I was created to be like you. Help the way I think, help the way I talk, help the way I act. Help me, God, to become what you call me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you today, God. I love you today, God. My very best. We remember Calvary's cross and be willing to. Oh, would you sing that to the Lord?
Times.
seek to please Him, if we desire to live for Him, the blessings of heaven will fall on your life and fall on your home. What God has spoken to you, every word of God is yea and amen. But we are holders of that promise. Holders to the fact that we relegate if it comes to pass or if it doesn't come to pass. I'm reminded of a story, true story, years ago, told to me by Tim Foster. His twin was Tom Foster, pastor of Dallas, Texas. Pastor that preached last year at youth convention, Raising Hell. But know who I'm talking about. Tim, his twin brother, it was prophesied to him that he would be the one that would preach to thousands. He would be conference, convention speakers. Somehow down the road of life, he backslid. He walked out on God. And he came back to God, but somehow the prophecy that was prophesied over Tim changed and went to his twin brother Tom. Tim got back into church, but was okay with the Garcia. That prophecy went to his brother, though I'm sure it hurt him. But he had the power to choose to let that prophecy come to pass or let it fall by the wayside. I say this, don't let the word of God fall by the wayside because of your actions and because of your lack of unbelief. Put your shoulders back, raise your head up, and realize this road that we're involved in, it's a process. And let God unfold it in His time. Because if God unfolds a rose, He always gets it right. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your children that are here tonight. I pray a blessing on them, a blessing on their home, a blessing on their family. What they put to do, let it prosper. I pray, God, tonight that you'd raise up men and women that desire to be holy. For you, God, are holy. You are our example. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. I'll meet with everybody from NAYC over here on my left-hand side. God bless you. You're dismissed.